out over the plate, left center field, and that's deep. Castro's back at the wall. A two-run home run for Velasquez. And the Royals have four in the third inning. And that's belted to left field. And Velasquez has his second home run of the game.
And the Royals go home run happy. Three homers last night. Salvador Perez with one. Nelson Velasquez with two. And the Royals break a three-game losing streak behind their ace, and who should probably be the Cy Young Award winner if the season ended today in the American League, their great acquisition, Seth Lugo. Royals snapped the three-game slide last night. 6-1 win over the Twins. And the Royals, Seth Lugo, one run in six innings. He's 9-1 on the season. Matt Cotrero, manager of the Royals, on Seth Lugo.
He knows the guys he wants to attack. I mean, he knows when some of those walks, I think, are him trying to set up a better matchup. So he knows how to pitch. He knows what he feels like. He knows who he feels like he can go after on certain nights. And, you know, he did get big outs with guys on base, but that's what he's done for us all year.
Lugo has an ERA of 1.72 through 12 starts, the lowest by any Royals player to start a stint with the club, and second only to Zach Greinke's 2009 season when he had an ERA of 1.55 after 12 starts. And what happened in 2009 for Zach Greinke?
He won the Cy Young.
So we'll see if Seth Lugo wins the Cy Young and so forth and so on. Royals look for a split this afternoon as the two teams, the Twins and the Royals, finish up the four-game set. 12-10 first pitch today. Brady Singer's had an outstanding year so far. 4-2, ERA of 2.63 takes the bump for the boys in blue. Royals are 35-22 on the season. Twins now 30-25. If the season ended today, the Royals would be in the playoffs as the second wildcard team. And they would be on the road at the Baltimore Orioles in a wildcard game. So that would be pretty cool,
yeah,
to be in the playoffs. How about win the division? That'd be great, too.
You don't have to worry
about that little wild card situation. So the Royals get the win last night. This is a Sports Ticket brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. We'll get to the NBA Western Conference Finals. The Mavs have another chance to close that out tonight. And also the conference finals in the National Hockey League. We'll get to that as well. Plus, there's a KU player and a K-State player making different decisions when it comes to staying or leaving the NBA draft process. We'll explain that coming up here in just a moment. Okay, so I announced this earlier on Waterside Wake Up, but for those that missed it, I'll go ahead and go back over this, and then I'll expand upon it a little bit, as I teased people that were listening earlier that I would expand a little bit more. 18 years ago, my wife and I, along with our infant son, took a leap of faith and moved to North Central Kansas so that I could advance my career by taking a general manager position with Durkin Communications, which meant that I was in charge of two radio stations, KD Country 94, Z96.3 Lake here in Glen Elder. We didn't really know anyone in the area too much. I mean, I knew Dusty a little bit, not a lot. I mean, I knew his family. His sister was in my class, and I knew his brother, but Dusty was kind of the one connection I had, oddly enough, and he was already working here for a few years prior to when we took over the radio stations, when Durkin Communications brought the stations from Herb Hoflicker and Ruby Hoflicker, and then I was hired on to be the GM of the two stations, and little did Dusty know, a few months prior to that, we were at state basketball and talking a little bit. First time I'd seen Dusty in a long, long time since he was, I think, really, really small. And little did he know, but I knew, that I was going to be his boss in a short period of time. And that's what took place. So other than Dusty, really didn't know anybody too much in the area. But it didn't take long to meet and get to know some terrific people with many cool friendships and relationships created along this 18-year run. During that span, our family grew from a party of three to a party of five. And we've been able to proudly say North Central Kansas is our home. We've made some incredible memories since 2006, from winning Small Market Station of the Year four times, including three consecutive years, with a staff of just three full-time employees, to banana peel toss competitions in the front lobby, to chair races with my boys here in the radio station hallway when they were little tykes. We've always had a small but motivated crew here at the radio station, striving to provide our area with the best coverage humanly possible. There have been many laughs along the way, to go along with many, many long hours that are made worth it when our listeners tell us things like this: "You kept me safe during the storms. Listening to you guys calling the ballgame on the radio made me feel like I was there. I laughed so hard when you and Mike talked about wiener boats." Which, speaking of that,
Mike Schrant.
Wiener boats.
Wiener boats.
That's all I can say.
Wow.
They just stuck these two wieners in mashed potatoes. That was it.
Every time I heard the term wiener boat, I think of Mike Schrant. And then there are people that say, man, you and Dusty were fired up today on the sports ticket. Things like that. We grew beards and raised a lot of money for a charity near and dear to Dusty's heart. We'd raise over $8,000, I think it was.
Over $9,000.
$9,000.
Yeah.
$9,000. And that was big thanks to the community of Downs and the Downs Chamber of Commerce. So many people in Downs helping us out. And there are many people outside of Downs, too. But that's where we ended the finale event where people were able to shave our beards off, including taking Mike's mustache off, which was pretty fun. We worked together and picked up the slack so often for each other, whether it was when my middle son barely survived childbirth, to Dusty's health scare when he was gone for quite some time and in Salina, or to simply supporting our dear friend and former news director Mike Schrant in his last days fighting brain cancer just a year and a half ago. We've called numerous games, we've done hundreds of morning shows and hundreds of sports ticket talk shows to go along with local scoreboard and preview shows, locker room chats, Royals bus trips, summer giveaway remotes, and so much, much more. It's been a hell of a ride, and I am very, very proud of what we've accomplished over the past 18 years. As my family did in the summer of 2006, 18 years later, our party now of five is ready to embark on a new adventure and a new chapter. This new opportunity will be exciting, it'll be challenging, and yet it is bittersweet as well, as we will miss all of the fine people we have had and who have been so supportive professionally and personally. I want to thank my wife and my family for being open to change and being on board with the unique opportunity that has presented itself to us here recently. I want to thank Bruce Durking for the opportunity to further enhance my radio career, gain valuable experience in management. I want to thank Dusty for everything. He's been a rock, both as an employee and as a friend, and there is not a single better person to work with in all of this world than Dusty Dynas. I want to thank everyone who has worked for us while I've been the GM here. Every one of them made their mark in one way or another on our team. And finally, I want to thank you, my favorite listener. Yes, I called you my favorite. Don't tell anybody. Without you, this job doesn't exist. You are my inspiration to do everything I can to make the stations the best they can be, and I will miss each and every one of you. As for what I'm going to be doing next, well, first of all, at this moment in time, my last day here at KD Country 94 and Z96.3 Lake is not today. Unless after meetings today, maybe it is. I don't know. We'll find out. But the plan is for me to, I'll still be on the air doing sports ticket and waterside wake up. I'll have some days off. I'll be gone doing some different things here over the course of June, but I'll still be working and doing things here. I'll still be on the airwaves until probably late June. Still be here. The plan is to, you know, help out with the 8-man All-Star Games, which will take place next week. So if you were starting to rejoice thinking, oh, dear Lord, Gershner's finally off the airwaves in North Central Kansas, psych, I'll be on the air for at least a few more weeks, or at least that is the plan as of now. As for what I'll be doing, I will still be in radio. I will be a general manager. I'll be going from a manager of two stations to being a general manager of six. I'll be working closely with a good friend of mine who I used to work with up in Northeast Kansas, the company I used to work with back in 01 to 06 before coming here, and the owners of the stations who were our bosses, my friend Justin and I, they were the bosses and owners of the stations for many years, and we worked together under that tutelage and that leadership, and then Justin bought the stations, I think it was about 3 years ago, from those owners as they, you know, wanted to slide into retirement, which makes sense. And him and I have chatted and crossed paths here and there over time over the last few years. And then we had some serious discussions here the last few months in regards to, you know, what about the possibility of coming this way, so forth and so on. My wife is from Topeka. And so there's my wife's side of the family will be much closer to them. My side of the family will be further away. And then there is a new chapter in our lives for everybody. It's our oldest is just graduated high school, so he will be going to college. He'll be going opposite direction we are, which just goes to show that we are not suffocating parents. And he's thankful for that. And so it's a new chapter for every single person in our life. You know, it's going to be tough on our two kids, you know, changing schools that are still going to school. That's one thing I really hate about this whole process. But at the same time, I've talked to people that have moved, and they said, you know, you, when you're younger, you meet people, you socialize, you still have friendships from where you were. And so it's going to be very bittersweet. It's going to be really, I think, very difficult. My final official day here, or last time I know that I'll be on the air, probably get a little bit more emotional. It'll be, you know, I've told people it's going to be, I think the eeriest feeling probably, just projecting here a little bit, predicting, will be walking out of our house for the final time, all the memories that we had in our house. And, you know, and you know, it's interesting that, you know, our oldest was a few weeks old when we moved here to Glen Elder, lived above the radio station for a couple of years, then we moved to Beloit. And so you're like, well, you know, I hate to leave a house that's all full of memories. And then somebody told me, said, you die tomorrow. And you all retire and you go somewhere. At some point, you're not going to have that house. Like, eventually, we all die. So eventually, somebody's going to have your house. Somebody's going to be living in it. They're going to make changes to it, so forth and so on. And I get all that, but it'll be that'll be a tough day, no doubt, when we close the door for the final time, no question. And so, yeah, and I have opportunity to have ownership. I was not didn't have that opportunity here at the radio stations until I said I was leaving, and then that opportunity was, a little bit more specifically open to me. But by that time, it was too late. And that's not a knock on anybody. It's the fact of life. Is that I had interest. There are a lot of people out there that think that I own the stations here. Dustin and I were talking about that yesterday. Our owner is not here very often. He's not seen very often, which is fine because we're not micromanaged. We're allowed to do our jobs, which I appreciate. But many people, I have been the face of the radio stations, and Dusty's become more of the face of radio stations as he's been out and about more, I would say, the last 5 to 10 years. And so we are the face of the stations, even though we don't want you to see our face because we're guys with radio faces. And of course, we have to be because we're only two people that work here. We're the only two people that work here. And we have a short staff, and I think the last 5 years, we've only had a third member one of the last 5 years. So we've been a staff of two for basically 5 years. And so people have just kind of assumed that I own the stations. I've never owned the stations. I've been the general manager from day one to today. I have never had ownership. I have shown interest in ownership, and that just was not in the cards. And so when you have an opportunity to do something that you've wanted to do, opportunity to better yourself, an opportunity to set yourself up maybe better longer term for your family and yourself, and you have an opportunity to do something that you've wanted to do and be a part of ownership, it was too good of an opportunity to pass up. And I've told people, I've had a lot of people, I've been approached. I know Dusty's been approached too. You know, we, not to brag about ourselves here too much, but the fact is that there's not a lot of radio people in this business like Dusty and me anymore. We love radio. We're in radio. And there are a lot of people that have taken note of our work. We've won awards, which is great and fine and dandy, super. But it's when people say the nice things they say about us, like our listeners. Wow, I felt like I was at the game, or really enjoy listening to you guys, or it's going to suck and you're not on the air anymore, or this or that or whatever. And so that means more than the awards. But also, we have people in our profession, colleagues and peers and other radio companies that have approached us or talked to us about, hey, would you be interested in leaving Glen Elder? And I've had overtures over the years. And I've always said, you know, people have asked me, especially the first 5 to 10 years I was here, that, well, you know, are you going to stick around? Or I'm like, I don't know. I don't know where life takes me. I didn't think I'd be, if you told me 20 years ago I'd be in Glen Elder, Kansas, I'd called you crazy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know where I'm going to be. I can't sit here and predict the future. I've always told people that I will always listen to opportunities. I will always listen. That doesn't mean I'm serious about anything. It just means I'm willing to listen. I don't rule anything out immediately. I never have. I've had lots of opportunities to pursue other options over the last 18 years. But I've always told people that have asked me, oh, you know, are you going to be here for the rest of your life? Which is a pretty deep question. But and I say, I don't know. But I will tell you that it would have to be one hell of an opportunity for me to leave because, you know, our family enjoys it here. We call it home in North Central Kansas. We live in Beloit. I work at the Glen Elder. I got a great person to work with and Dusty. And so I've always said it just can't be an opportunity. It has to be an incredible, awesome opportunity that has a lot of potential. It can't just be an opportunity to just stay like I can be a gym in other stations and get a 2% raise. That's not a good enough opportunity. But when I have opportunity to go and work with and have more resources, I'll have more staff available to work with. I'll have more people to bounce ideas off of. And that's no knock towards Dusty or to Bruce at all. It's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like when we talk about college athletics. You got your mid majors, you got your smaller schools, you got your big schools. Guess what? The big schools have more resources, right? And that doesn't mean you need to work for those schools, but there are advantages and disadvantages to being a very small market radio station and being a group of with a company that has more stations. Having said that, I highly, highly doubt, and I just said I don't rule anything out, and I'm not, but I highly, highly doubt that I will ever work for a corporate company again. I was in Kansas City, worked for Intercom. I did not enjoy that experience. I worked for a company in Omaha. Well, I think at the time it was Wait Radio or Communications. They were a little bit more regionalized and local, but not truly fully local. And I worked for stations locally when I was in Pittsburgh in college, while I was going to school. I worked for local stations up in Seneca and Hiawatha. And then I came here and I worked for, you know, local stations and worked for Bruce, small market, and so forth and so on. And so I know that I can talk to the owner. I can actually do things without having to get his approval because he gives me the leeway to do it. Whereas corporate, you call up and 6 weeks later they say, okay, go for it. Like, dude, it's too late. I can't do this. So I do not want to work for corporate, and I'm not ruling it out someday in my life, but I highly, highly doubt it. And the company I'm going to work for is locally owned. And the person I'm going to work with hand in hand, along with many other people on staff, he's about my age. We have very similar visions. We are both very aggressive. We are both proactive and not reactive. And that's one of the things that I think is one of the biggest reasons why I chose to try this opportunity is that I feel there's going to be a better chance of being proactive where I'm going. And I feel like sometimes I've been held back because there has been at times a lack of proactivity. It's been more of a reactive nature. And if you listen to this show on a very regular basis, what have I said many times on this show is Major League Baseball is usually reactive instead of proactive. Who's usually proactive? The National Football League. Who's the number one league in America and the world? The National Football
NFL,
League.
Yeah.
You need to be proactive. And that's one of the reasons why I heavily considered this opportunity and helped push me to say, okay, this is where I need to go. Or this is where I want to go. Maybe not need to go, but this is where I want to go. I need to make sure my family was behind it, and they are. Obviously, our two youngest, it's going to be a major change for them. I do feel that. But I look forward to working, because I'll still be working in small market radio stations, but there'll be more to oversee. There's a station that the company I'm going to work for is going through the approval process of buying an FM station in Topeka. 96.9 is the signal, and plans are to make some changes to what it is now currently, like most people do when you buy a station. And so the company I'm going to work for will be the only locally owned and operated, will have the only locally owned and operated station in Topeka. All the other stations in Topeka, corporate owned. So I actually am going to live north of Topeka. Okay, so I'll be able to try to get ingrained into the communities, and I will be, you know, able to try to work and cultivate relationships so that we can, you know, build that station while still taking care of all the other stations that we have. So that's where I'm going. I've had a ton of people ask me, and I will get asked 1,000 times till we move, you know, what exact day are you moving? When exactly is the last day on the air? When is your last day at work? What school you're going to? When are you going to sell your house? Have you sold your house? How much do you want for your house? Dear Lord. You know, all that stuff, which is good because people have interest in all those things. That's not a bad thing. But as you can imagine, when you get asked the same questions over and over and over, you usually get a little bit tired of it. But I also know that's part of it. I mean, I get it, you know. That means people care. That means people, you know, appreciate you, or they just interested in your house. And so I am very excited about going towards this opportunity. I think it has a lot of potential. And if it didn't, I wouldn't be making this change. And we'll see where it leads us. We made a major jump in 2006, moved to a place we didn't know hardly anybody here in Glen Elder. Probably a lot of people at the time, knowing me at the time and whatever, probably thought, wow, Wade's an idiot. He's crazy to go to little Glen Elder by a lake. There's stations out there. What are you doing, dude? Aren't you supposed to be going in the other direction? And it's like, no, I took a leap of faith. I thought this is a great opportunity, and it has been. And did I think I'd be here 18 years when I took the job? I don't think so. I don't think so. But I didn't exactly have a grand plan. And I think some people for a long time thought I would be leaving. Many times people thought, there's no way Wade's going to stick around very long. And that's a compliment because they think the work I do is decent. And then I think we got to a point where everybody's like, okay, he's been here for a while, so now he's one of ours. He's never going to leave. Sorry to disappoint you, but... And I did have somebody say one time, yeah, I'm not going to go there. but just because I wasn't born in Beloit, just because I didn't graduate from Beloit, that doesn't mean I'm not a Beloit person. Because if 18 years in this area isn't enough to be considered a person of this area, then I'll never be. And so when you live at a place for 18 years, that is your home. Okay? Now, am I going to be going to a new home? Yeah, but it's going to take a lot of time before I'm probably going to feel like that's home. You catch my drift? Like, I lived out on the farm for 18 years. That was my home.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't consider that home anymore. But I did until I lived here for a while. It took, I don't know how many years I lived in Glen Elder, you know, lived at the radio station for a couple of years, then went over to Beloit for the last 16 years. So lived here in North Central Kansas 18 years. Lived in Beloit for a decade and a half. That's a long time. Long enough to see my kid go from a baby to graduate and go into college. And I don't know what point in time I considered Glen Elder and Beloit home, but it happened, right? Over time, it became our home. It became what we knew. And I made the transition from leaving home, going to college at the age of 18, like most people do. I made the transition and moved to Kansas City. Then I moved to Omaha. Then I moved to Seneca, Kansas, and I lived there for 5 years. Then made the transition here. This has been the longest stop in my career by far. I mean, well over a third of my life has been spent right here at this station and this company. So that's a long time. And, you know, I think some people think when you get the 18 years at a place, well, then you're just not going to leave, which I get. The longer you stay, less likely you're probably going to leave. Does it mean that I don't like it here anymore because we're moving? No. Are there things that I think will be better for myself and my family? Yes. If I didn't, I wouldn't be making this move. And that's not a knock on anything here. We've enjoyed our time here. And to kind of finish the point, Beloit, Glen Elder, North Central Kansas will still be our home even after we move out. And it's going to feel like our home for quite some time still. Until eventually we are at another place for a certain period of time, whatever that may be. It might be 3 years, 6 years. It might take 15 years before we're like, all right, this is home. But over the span of the last 18 years, this has become our home. And it's not like people can't visit us. It's not like people can't communicate. They have my phone number. Mm-hmm. It's not like I can't communicate with other people. I know it's not the same in regards to friendships and relationships. I get that. At the same time, If people want to stay in touch and value me as a friend, they will reach out. And if they don't, well, then it is what it is. You know, if I value somebody and want to stay in touch with them, you know, it's up to me to try to do that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of times people kind of drift apart when you move and do this or do that. I get it. And there will be a major adjustment here at the radio stations. There's no doubt about that. I don't know exactly where things are going to go forward. I'm going to work with... I'm going to try to get out and see all my advertisers and clients that I work with. For those of you that I haven't seen yet, my apologies. I hope to get out and see you. I'm probably going to bring Dusty with me on some of those visits. If you're wondering what's going to happen going forward, Dusty, as of now, is still planning on being here and everything. There's no plans on changing that. Dusty needs help. This is why you've been hearing these job openings on the radio quite a bit. We may have somebody that we bring on here pretty soon to help out. It might be a combination of two or three people to add to our staff. Whether they're going to find somebody that's that does all the things and experience that I have, that will be, I don't know. You know, some people say that's a long shot. Well, maybe it's not as unlikely as you think. I have no idea. The other thing that people say, I get three responses to when I've mentioned this on the, not on the radio. It's the first time I mentioned on the radio. But I get three responses when I talk to, whether it be advertisers, clients of mine, friends of mine, people I know. I get three versions of responses when they found out we're leaving. You ready for these?
Yeah.
Response number one, wow, that is so awesome. I am happy for you, but this sucks. Okay, that's the first one. Number two, you can't leave. This sucks. I guess we're happy for you. Which is fine. I get it. Mm-hmm. That's a compliment. And the third one, and the one that makes me laugh so much, is what are we going to do now? I've got kids in high school. I got kids coming up. Who's going to call the games? Gee, thanks for being happy for me. Mm-hmm. Because that means you're worried about yourself. And I get it. I get it. Because that, once again, is a compliment. It's a compliment because you think highly enough of me that you want me to be calling your kids' games when they go through high school. Or I've called two kids out of a family of three kids their whole careers, and now the third one's not going to get that same coverage of my voice. It doesn't mean they're not going to get coverage. It just means it won't be me. And as I respond to everybody that says any version of those three answers, is everyone's replaceable. Everyone's replaceable. Listen, if I died tomorrow, I would be replaced. If you die tomorrow, you will be replaced. Now, what I mean that is your job, okay? There will always be somebody to replace you. It might take three or four people to replace you. It might take one person to replace you. It might be somebody that's way smarter, better than you to replace you and take the position to a whole nother level. Where you can't be replaced, in my opinion, is as a parent, okay? So when I say die tomorrow, everybody's replaceable. You can't replace your family and your parents, your friends, things like that. But in regards to the workforce, thanks for all the compliments, but I'm no better than anybody else. My job will be filled, or there will be people to try to do parts of my job. It will be that way, or something will be done to take care and handle all of this. Everyone is replaceable, and I'm talking from a job perspective. Everyone's replaceable. Certain people, you could argue, are more valuable than others in regards to the corporate world. Well, this person's a CEO. What are we going to do? You elevate somebody to that position. The question is, do you have people in line to handle those things or to move up the ladder? And one of the challenges you have with small market radio stations, and not just small market, I think it's medium market too, and with any company and business in general, is finding good people. And finding people that either, one, have experience, or two, willing to learn and willing to stick it out and actually want to learn the profession or learn the job. If you want to have a career in radio and you're 38 years old, 48 years old, 55 years old, 16 years old, you can. There are many opportunities out there. People will hire you if you didn't go to college. If you can talk and put together complete sentences and have a little personality, you can be on the radio and do sports talk. If you know sports, you could do news talk. You can do a morning show. You have to have energy. You have to have a personality. And you have to be a little bit motivated, clearly, for any job. Mm-hmm. But you got to be able to, enunciate and talk a little bit if you want to be on air. But there's many opportunities in radio that doesn't have to be on air. You could be a production director. You could handle production. You could be a salesperson that writes ads, records ads, mixes them down, puts them into the system, but you're hardly ever heard on the radio. You could be a person running a board and you don't even get heard on the radio, and you can do this. You can be the IT guy for the radio station. You can be the webmaster. There's lots of things you can do and be a part of radio, much like many other professions. And so you should never feel like you're too old to do anything. You should never feel like you're too old to learn anything. If you ever get to the point where you think you can't learn anything anymore, that means you think you know it all. And last I checked, I've not met a person ever or heard of a person ever that knew it all. I'm 48. I learned something new just yesterday. I mean, I learn something new all the time. And I like learning things that are new, especially if it helps me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll be selfish. If that helps me make my life better, I'm cool with learning something new. And I'm also okay with exploring something new. And I think there are a lot of people out there that are listening to this, and they may say, one, there's different ways of thinking, probably. One, this sucks. Two, really like Wade. I wish he would stay. Three, could be, I can't wait for Wade to leave. Great, awesome, don't put up with him, and so forth and so on. But I think there are a lot of people out there that just, I don't want to say the word courage, because I think courage is used way too loosely. But I think there are a lot of people that are afraid. That'd be a better way to say it. There are a lot of people that are afraid of change. I think there are a lot of people that are doing things in their life that they don't enjoy. They're in a job they don't like. And they might not be as happy as they let on. But they're not either willing or they're afraid to make a move or a change.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I know a lot of people that are that way. Well, this is what I know. Yeah, but you can learn something new. I mean, you're kind of degrading yourself a little bit if you don't think you can learn something new. Now, being willing to learn something new and being comfortable are kind of two different things. If you're comfortable, that doesn't mean you're not willing to learn something new, but it also means that you're kind of stuck in where you want to be, and not stuck because you choose to be. And I'll give you an example. My dad is a farmer. Okay. And I've heard him many times over the years. Lord knows if I had a nickel for every time he said this over the years about how farming's not enjoyable anymore. He doesn't like farming. He used to kind of like it or love it. And there's all these issues, and he complains and talks about those things, and rightfully so. But all those times, after I heard him say so many times that, you know, well, when this happens, I'm going to do this. Or if that happens, I'm maybe going to do this. And I always have felt like I'll believe it when I see it. I've never truly believed it. And here's why. Because I think sometimes people lie to themselves. They talk about how bad things might be with their particular job. But deep down, they love it. They won't want to tell you that. Mm-hmm. But deep down, they love it. Or they're comfortable with it. But they want you to think that they're not comfortable with it. Why? I have no idea. Or you're just simply, some people complain about their job, but if they did something different, they'd find things to complain about that too. It don't matter what the job is. But when you have done something for a very long time, I think there is a tendency to say, why would I make a change here? No need to take a risk. There's no need to explore that opportunity because, yeah, things are okay here. And my dad still is farming. It's like, for crying out loud, 10 years ago, it was like when grandpa passes away, it sounded like they were going to be done. And dad still, almost 4 years now after my grandpa passed away, he's still farming.
Mm-hmm.
He told me how horrible and miserable it is. Well, I'm not saying he's lying, but deep down, he loves it. And so sometimes we need to be honest with ourselves. Like, why are you not taking opportunity elsewhere? Are you scared to take that opportunity, or do you really love what you do but tell everybody you hate it? And I have people that do that.
Oh, yeah.
Many people that complain until their dreams come true. And it's like, well, if you're so miserable, do something different. And so either you're lying and you're not miserable, or you are miserable and don't have the gumption to put your toe into the deep end of the pool and jump in. I think the best analogy I can use is that there are a lot of people that are comfortable on the low diving board, and they'll jump in knowing, hey, I'm not going to, it's not going to be too bad, and I'm going to come back up. I really want to try the high board. I've never seen anybody die off the high board. I think I could do it. You know what? I think I'm going to give it a whirl. So you go up and you get to the edge of the board, and then you make the mistake of doing what?
Well, you panic.
You look down.
Yeah.
You look down, and you're like, oh, I don't know if that's such a good idea. You forget that you just told yourself, well, nobody's died of a high dive at a pool. You talk yourself out of it. It's what you do, right? I mean, that's what you do. You get all confident. Like, all right, this is the day I'm going to do it. And you get to the end of that diving board, and maybe some of you do it, and you jump in. Good for you. And others, and you know who you are. You're like, I know it might look a little silly that I turn around and not jump, but I'd rather do that than jump in and look stupid or looks like I'm drowning or something. And so you just don't take that jump. You think about it, but you just don't have the gumption to do it. And deep down, you know it. Deep down, you know it. And maybe someday you will take that jump. Maybe something will change to push you off that diving board and make that jump. And I'm not telling people out there you have to make that jump. I'm not telling you should make that jump. What I am saying to you is if you're not happy in what you're doing, no matter what it is, don't be afraid to look at other options. Don't be afraid to consider other opportunities. Don't immediately shut down a possible opportunity. Always, always listen. It doesn't hurt to listen to opportunities. You don't get fined for listening to opportunities. You should never get fired because you're listening to opportunities. The worst case scenario is you politely say, not interested.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had lots of opportunities, and some were not even, didn't take very long for me to shut it down, but I at least would listen to the initial premise. And this is one that just was too good to pass up. And so, it's by the end of the June. By end of June, that'll be the last time you hear me on the airwaves here. In regards to what people may be asking, another question I've got a lot of times is, are you still going to be on the air? You do a really good job with play-by-play. You do sports talk, this and that. Are you still going to host a morning show? I will be doing play-by-play in some capacity, one way or the other. I hope to still, it sounds like I can still fill in for K-State Sports for play-by-play. I know the company is allowing me to do that if it, you know, works into the schedule, just like here, same way. There have been times I've turned K-State down to fill in because we've had stuff going on here, and this was my first priority. And then if I can do it and my schedule allows, then I fill in to do some K-State play-by-play for baseball or K-State women's basketball, a couple times for the men's basketball team. And I'll still, it sounds like, have that opportunity, or so I hope, which would be great. So you may hear me on the K-State Radio Network down the line, even though I've moved from here. You may be listening to 96.9 or other radio stations up in Northeast Kansas, and you may be flipping through the dial, driving through Topeka or Highway 36 in Northeast Kansas, and you might hear me. And I apologize in advance. You may hear me. Go, wow, that's a blast of the past. Isn't that Gershner from back in the day in Glen Elder? Yeah, that's him. Wow, he sounds really old and senile. Yep, that's him. So I'll still be doing some play-by-play. In regards to sports talk, I don't know exactly what I'll be doing there. I enjoy sports talk, but my first priority is to be the GM of the radio stations, and it's going to take me a little bit of time to get acclimated with everything. So I'm not going to have a sports talk show right off the bat. I know that when I make that transition, nor do I want to, because I need to focus on the things that are really important in this position initially, and then I can know how I can juggle all the balls at the circus, and then I can be like, okay, I have time, I can handle all of this, and I can do a podcast, or I can do a sports talk show on the radio, whatever the case may be. Now, in regards to a morning show, no, I don't want to. Nope, don't want to. I have 18 years. I guess there's 1 year. I had a one-year hiatus. 17 last 18 years, I've gotten up every morning. Some mornings I get up later than others. But every single morning for the last 18 years, not every single morning, there's vacation, Dusty's filled in, things like that. But for the last 18 years, I have been on the radio at 7 a.m. doing Waterside Wake Up. As much as I love all you out there that listen to Waterside Wake Up, I'm going to tell you that that is one thing that I will not miss. Not you. I miss you. I'll miss you. But I will not miss getting up early every morning to do a show and be bright, or try to be bright, energetic, and bushy-tailed at 7 a.m. All right? Now, I may be doing a morning show filling in from time to time and might have to get up earlier than I do now for this new company. There is a possibility of that because I will do whatever I need to do to make the company go. And that's exactly what I've done for Durkin Communications. Mm-hmm. It's exactly what Dusty has done for this company. And we have done everything that we need to do to make things better as much as we can control and move forward. And if that means figuring out what's wrong with the transmitter, if that means what's wrong with the board, if that means selling, if that means fixing a commercial, if that means doing a remote, if that means severe weather at 2:30 in the morning. Dusty and I wear 1,000 hats because we have to. We're only two people staffing a radio station that has done very well in the last 18 years and has been acknowledged by our peers in the industry for our work. And so while it does hurt me, it does, of course, bother me that I'll leave behind something that worked so hard to build here the last 18 years. And I'm definitely going to miss working with Dusty. There's no question about that. At the same time, do you have the gumption to make a change? Are you willing to make a change? And if you think it can better things for you and your family, that is the number one priority. There have been times I have put this company ahead of my family, and shame on me. Because looking back, I feel pretty stupid. There have been times that I put the radio station ahead of my family, especially the first few years I was here. And shame on me again. And the crazy thing is, I don't own them. Why in the hell did I put the station ahead of my family a few times when I probably, I know I shouldn't have. But at the time, I just was engrossed in really turning this into what I wanted to turn it into. I treated these stations like I owned them. And I think that's why people think I own them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't. And that's what I'm really excited about. I will have ownership. I'll have more skin in the game, as they say, where I'm going. So I know I took a little bit of time to go over all of that. Wasn't planning on talking about that for that long. But at the same time, I want to answer as many questions as I can so that I don't have to answer the same question a million times, even though I probably still will. But anyway, that's what's going to happen. Various people already know that I was leaving. I've waited for a while to talk about it on the show just because the timing didn't feel right. A couple times I thought about it. And then I'm like, you know, I'm basically 30 days out from being done here. I probably should, you know, bring it up, talk about it a little bit. And then we'll, at some point here in June, I'm sure we'll find some cool audio, some things we can play that will take us to the past like we did there with Mike and the Wiener Boat. Played another one with Mike and Susan Day and the pinup posters and stuff. So there's some things that we can do. So I thank everybody for their support over the 18 years. No, you're not rid of me yet. I'll be around and still in the air for a few weeks, still be in the area for at least for about a month or two yet, going back and forth and various things like that. So once again, thanks to everybody and their support over the 18 years. I hope you still support the radio stations moving forward. I hope you support Dusty. I hope you don't sit here and go, well, Wade's leaving, so I'm not going to do anything with them anymore. It's like, well, first of all, it's a compliment to me. That's nice of you to say. At the same time, I'm not the only person that's capable of taking care of you and your business in regards to marketing and advertising. There are other people that can do that, and Dusty's certainly capable of doing that. So I want people to know that as well.
I don't have a prepared rebuttal to what you just did.
No, that's fine.
But I feel the question, right? Like, because I'm getting the different question, right? Like,
sure. What's next?
Are you the head honcho? What are you doing? Mm-hmm. What are you sticking around? Listen, I just have told everybody that I'm not trying to leave. That's the way I put it. And please understand when I stress I'm not trying to leave.
Right.
This has been my home for 3 more years than Wade. So
yes.
I've lived over half of my life in Glen Elder, Kansas. And I've spent even more than that time in North Central Kansas because my mom grew up in Beloit. My grandparents were in Beloit, and we came here all the time growing up to see the grandparents. I've had a connection to this area before I even lived in this area.
Yeah.
And so I'm not trying to leave. So understand, I do want people that are listening, since you put out some things there, understand that I'm one man. Because
yes.
I'm getting the same type of things that you're getting. Is this going to affect your coverage of my kid? I'm one man. Right. And so if I don't get help, yes, this is going to affect the coverage of your kid. If I get help, maybe it won't. I don't know all that yet. We don't know all that yet. What I do know is that I like you, think that we built something pretty damn special here, and I would like to keep that going if it's made possible the opportunity for me to keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of stuff that you have addressed that is going to be out of my control.
Yep.
And so, again, as not an owner, there are things that I can't authorize. There are things that I will not be able to do. And so when I get that question, what's next for you? I don't fully know yet. And so I just want people to understand that part of it. I'm here and I want to be here and I want to make this, or I want to continue what we've built and continue to have something special here at KD Country 94 and Z96 Point Through the Lake. I don't have a preparation of talking anything about you and working with you like you had in there.
We still have time.
But we know, and I think everybody knows that we've been through some stuff together. So
yeah,
it's just what it is. And you know, my first response to you was, I'm so happy for you.
Yes,
I am not happy for myself.
Yes, that's exactly what you said. That's exactly what you said.
That was my first response after you told me about
it. Yes, it was.
So, but I am. I'm happy for you and your family for being able to have this opportunity, no question about it. So
when I had decided to take this opportunity, I was sitting here and I was like, how am I going to go about, you know, tell your boss, your owner, okay? And I wasn't as worried about that and I've told Dusty this as well, and I've told my wife, she knows this, I've said it probably 1,000 times to her. I said, the thing I'm dreading the most about this whole process, other than, of course, moving, is before we let the cat out of the bag, I was like, I know the first couple people I need to talk to, obviously I need to talk to my boss, okay, the owner, let him know. I don't want to hear any at third hand or whatever. But I said, the biggest meeting or sit down that I'm not looking forward to and I'm dreading is to telling Dusty. Because it could easily have been the other way. It could have been Dusty leaving and I'm by myself working on stuff. It could easily have happened. Dusty's had opportunities. And so I thought, dear Lord, I don't want to put that on Dusty. I don't want Dusty to have to carry all the weight and be, you know, one-man show at all. And at the same time, I'm like, I'll do everything that I can to make the transition as smooth as possible. And I am staying on. Like, I had people that have told me, in fact, one yesterday, I thought your last day is tomorrow, Friday. And I said, no. I'm like, when do you start your new job? I said, well, beginning of July. Why won't you give yourself time off? Like, why won't you? I mean, like, because of Dusty. It's the one and only reason. Because Dusty has been my right-hand man for 18 years. If I ask Dusty to do something, he'll do it. And he won't argue about it. I'm sure there's things I've told him or asked him to do that he didn't want to do. But he did it. He's never questioned authority. He's done this, but he's also been willing to say, hey, I think we can do this. I think we can do that. Dusty's always been a team player. There's no I in team, and Dusty has never, ever, ever made it about himself. And so when I say that there's nobody better in the world to work with, I say that pretty confidently because we have to work really closely together because it's just him and me. And so if something happens to me, then it all falls on Dusty. And if something happens...
And vice versa.
If something happens to Dusty, it falls on me. And now, you know, we've at least had each other, and that's why I feel really bad and crappy, and why I was dreading telling Dusty, because, you know, I feel like I'm deserting him. I feel like I'm, you know, leaving him in a tough spot, and that certainly was not my intention, wasn't planned. And at the same time, I'm like, well, if I can at least stay on as long as I possibly can and help as much as I can. And I told Dusty yesterday, this is just full disclosure, ladies and gentlemen. I told Dusty yesterday, I said, damn it, Dusty, for being such a good guy. And he's like, what do you mean? And I said, well, you know, if you weren't that great to work with and you were kind of a jerk and I only knew you for a year, tomorrow would be my last day. I did myself 30 days off to work everything out. But I said, no, I can't. There's no way that I want Dusty to go through the 8-man games by himself. You know, there's no way that I want to just, you know, give 2 weeks notice and then I'm gone and there's no time to do anything. And the reason I say that is because he wouldn't do that to me. At least I don't believe he would.
No.
You know, Dusty would be like, hey, I need to let you know that I hate to tell you this, but I'm going to, I picture that. Dusty would be like, I just want you to know that I'm going to be leaving and I want to give you I'm going to give you a couple months notice or 30 days notice instead of 2 weeks notice. Or he's not saying I'm out of here today because I'm so upset about something. I know he would do that for me. So that's why I'm doing it for him. And that's a relationship that we have. And that's why I think we've been very successful at the radio station with just two people. And it's been nice having a third person. We had Mike here, was the best run we ever had, without question. We had other people here that, you know, made contributions, made their mark in the stations, whether part-time or full-time. And like I said, for the last 5 years, we've had, it's a staff of two for the last 5 years. We had 1 year where we had Jason with us, and he gave me 1 year off from the morning show so I could sleep in a little bit. But Dustin and I have a special relationship, and really, honestly, it goes back to, you know, his family. I mean, his sister is in my class, a class of 43 at Trigger Community High School, a class of 94. His brother was on the tennis team, and I got to see his brother throw and break tennis rackets at a high rate. And I broke a few myself until my junior or senior year when I finally grew up a little bit and matured. And Dusty was just a little whippersnapper. And I've seen Dusty grow kind of before my eyes. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, when I started here back in 2006, the summer of 06, and I listened to the stations when I drove out here a few times, and I was like, oh, we can do this, we can do this. I had a whole list of things we can do. And so when I talked with Dusty, I said, hey, I got this idea, I got this idea, I got this idea. And Dusty's like, hell yeah, let's do it. I mean, Dusty was all on board. I mean, he didn't question it. He was just like, Dusty was excited. He was a go-getter. He was motivated. He was energetic. And over time, Dusty has grown from a person been radio for a few years to a well-rounded radio talent. And what I mean by that is he now will go out and work with advertisers that he didn't do when he first was here. I kind of got him out of that little thing because I asked more of Dusty than Herb and Ruby did. I asked Dusty, listen, man, I need you to do not only sports, but I want you to do coaches shows. I want us to do preview shows. I want us to do a scoreboard show. I want us to do more production. I want us to do a sports talk show. I want to do more with the morning show. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do this. And oh yeah, by the way, can you go help out and sell and talk to some clients? And that was a little bit out of Dusty's comfort zone initially, no question. But did he bitch and moan about it? No, he did it. He did it. And I think he's better for it today. And I think
absolutely
that makes him attractive. If somebody ever, and I know there are many out there that would grab you in a heartbeat, all the ladies too. And that's why, you know, the current structure of this company better sure as hell damn well take care of you. Because you are, as somebody called me one time, a unicorn. You are as well. And so, appreciate everything you've done. We'll move on. I don't want to get into sippy sappy stuff any more than that. We have plenty of time to talk about these things over the next few weeks, unless, like I said, for suddenly tomorrow I'm out of here and everything I said is a bunch of hooey, and Dusty's like, I thought you said you didn't want me to do the 8-man games by yourself. Well, that's what I said, Dusty, but don't play it back on me. So in 30 seconds, we'll regroup and we'll hit a few things before we get out of here on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by Kiever Brothers.
Does your vehicle have a leak, squeak, or rattle? Is there an annoying warning light shining at you from the dash? I'm Elijah at Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit. If you have an automotive issue, don't just live with it because you're afraid of what it might cost to get it fixed. We offer a 15-minute no-wrench inspection for free, so you can get a professional opinion about your problem without spending a dime. Call or stop by today. We're happy to take a look at almost anything for free. That's Kiever Brothers Automotive, just south of the courthouse in Beloit, and online at KieferBrothers.com.
All right, I got some texts from people, as I expected, which is awesome. And I got a message here. You know, Jason says, still listening. We and my family will miss you very much. So happy for you. Don't be a stranger. Amen, brother. I definitely won't be, and I'll definitely be keeping an eye on how your daughter is going to be doing here in her upcoming senior year. And it's been a pleasure of covering her first 3 years. And I'm sorry that I won't be covering her senior year, but there'll still be coverage. It just won't be me, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on who comes in and does various things. Who knows? Sometimes it can be, I can't get better than that. Yeah, I can. Yeah, I can. Always can be better. Can always be worse. It can always be better. So thank to everybody for the texts and messages that I've received here in the last few minutes. Okay, back to the show here. Ahead of last night's deadline to withdraw from the NBA draft, KU freshman Johnny Furphy announced that he will keep his name in the pool and begin his professional career, foregoing his remaining college eligibility. Furphy averaged 9 points, 5 rebounds, 24 minutes a game, his only season with the Jayhawks. He's projected by many to be a lottery pick in the June draft. I'm going to try to keep this short and sweet as much as I can since we're running a little bit long. First of all, I'm not surprised. Second of all, it makes sense. And third of all, for all the KU fans that'll be like, he's not ready, he's not ready, he's not ready. Let me present you with a check for $2 million today, and you tell me if you're willing to leave your job for $2 million. And if you say you're not, and that you would turn it down, I think you're full of crap. Calling it what it is. Why do you expect an 18 or 19-year-old kid who has worked hard to get his craft, improve it, and yes, it might be unexpected that after 1 year he's going to the NBA, but for you to say he's not ready, it's especially from KU fans, it means you just don't want him to go because you're selfish and want him to help your team win a national title. And I understand the thinking of he's not ready. No, he's not going to start and be an all-star next year. He'll play in the G League. Okay? More than likely. Grady Dick played in the G League. Fred Van Fleet played in the G League, although Grady Dick was a lottery pick. And that's what Johnny Furphy might be. And then I hear people say this, and this is where they don't understand. And that's okay. That's what we're here for on the show. People say, well, he could come back and he would enhance his stock and he can make some NIL money and then he can make even more money. He'll move up in the draft next year. And Brian Haney, the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, said on this very show at the end of the season when talking about, you know, the prospect of Furphy leaving, said, this is one of the weakest NBA drafts in years. Next year's draft is projected to be pretty good. So Johnny Furphy could move all the way up as a lottery pick. And this is guaranteed money, folks, and you're guaranteed, I think it's 3 years.
Yeah.
Even if you play in the G League, you're still getting paid for 3 years. It's a three-year commitment. You're a second-round pick? It is not. They could cut you. So if you're a first-round pick, you've got guaranteed money for 3 years. That's kind of nice. You can play basketball all the time. You don't have to go to school, don't take classes, don't have to worry about this, that, and whatever. And you will get better because you're going to play against men, not teenagers. You're going to play against men. And it might be a tough transition initially, but you got guaranteed money to at least help you with that transition. And yes, you could come back to Kansas. And could he become a better player? Absolutely. And he could go into the draft next year and be the 28th pick instead of the 15th. And you know what? It's slotted. In the first round of the draft, it's slotted in NBA. That means a lot less money. And there's a chance he might not even be in the first round if the draft's way better next year. Mm-hmm. This is a weak draft class. And this proves it. Johnny Furphy, to me, is not a lottery pick. I totally agree with people. He's not a lottery pick in a normal year. But he is a lottery pick this year. Now, you hear people say, well, that team wasn't as good as the other team that didn't win a championship, but that team won a championship. Many times, your best team doesn't win the title. It's another team. Like we talked about Kansas before. I mean, do we really think that the 2022 team was better than other teams Kansas has had that didn't win a title? The team of 2022 that won a title might be the 15th best team in Kansas history. Maybe.
Yeah.
But there's only a handful that have won titles at Kansas. You know, I've talked about it before. I saw a Beloit football team, the team that made it to the state championships against Silver Lake, was not as good as the Beloit team the year before. I know this. I will stand on that. It wasn't as good as the year before. It was really good. It wasn't as good as the year before. The problem is they ran into a juggernaut called Scott Skitty, and then Scott City graduated a lot of their studs, and then the very next year it was weaker in the West. The Beloit was still good, and they went to the state title game. When I say the team that made it to the semis was better than the team that made it to the finals, does that mean that I'm degrading the team that made the final? No, I'm just saying that that team was better, but I'm not going to punish the team that made it to the state title next year because they beat who was in front of them. That is that year. That is what you worry about. Same thing with Johnny Furphy here. You can sit here and scream and yell and go, Johnny Furphy should come back to Kansas, and he didn't even play for a while. He didn't even start. He's not even close to ready. He's not a lottery pick. And once again, you would be right on all accounts except for one. This year, he is a lottery pick, or he probably will be a lottery pick. He's definitely a first-round pick from what everybody is saying. So if you know you're going to get guaranteed money, and you're 18, 19 years old, and you love basketball, and you don't want to go to class, and he is from Australia, right?
Yeah.
So he's not even from America, by the way. Why wouldn't you do it? And if you sit here, I always love the argument, well, you go back to college, you'll get better. You don't think he's going to get better when he's going to have more nutritionist, therapist, people to take care of his body? He's got charter flights everywhere, the best of the best, even better than at KU. He's going to be, he's an investment, so they're going to take care of him. They're going to bring him along slowly. They're not going to rush him and feed him to the wolves. And it's a 3-year investment. Why in the world would you turn that down? And the answer is, most often than not, people wouldn't. Now, if Johnny Furphy is projected, everybody tells him, you're going to be the second to last pick in the first round, he probably should come back. Because if you slide to the second, there is none of that security blanket or net. But it doesn't sound like that's even the case. And Bill Self's pretty plugged into the NBA. So for all of you that say Johnny Furphy is not good enough to be in the NBA, no, he is. Because of the draft class this year, he is. Will he be, would a year from now, would he be playing 30 minutes for KU and being in the G League and NBA? Yeah, probably so. Guess where? He's making more money. Now, I'm not saying money's everything, but it is a big part of the equation. He will be getting better. He can focus on basketball 100%. The people are invested in him. And he also, you know, doesn't have to worry about an injury now that could wreck his career at KU. That's something people always forget about. Sometimes you have insurance policies protect you. So, yes, I understand the sentiment that he's not ready. He's not. He's not ready to play an NBA game today. But you know what? Many draft picks aren't. In fact, there's times where guys are in the top 10 maybe aren't.
Yeah.
But they will be. And will Johnny Furphy be a star in the NBA? I doubt it. But I will say he has a ton of potential. Yeah. And they're getting him kind of raw. And I've seen some guys that have been pretty raw.
Oh, yeah.
Like Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's one of the best players in the NBA. He's pretty dang raw. It's amazing what the NBA can do with these raw projects. And Johnny Furphy can shoot it. He's going to get stronger. He's going to jump higher. He can drive it some, too. Mm-hmm. Honestly, he may be a better prospect than Grady Dick long term. He might be.
Mm-hmm.
So, for all those that say he shouldn't be doing this, you need to understand the facts.
Yeah, I do want to just add a couple things here real quick on this, because the story that I saw said he's slotted to be the 13th pick.
13th.
If he gets picked 13th, he will make $12 million over the next 3 years. No NIL deal is going to pay you $12 million over the next 3 years at any school in America.
So let me say this again. You know who you are. Oh, Johnny Furphy should come back to KU. He shouldn't go pro. He's not ready. Let me present you with a $12 million check that you can get, that you can cash over the next 3 years. Do you think you're ready to leave your job? Hell no, you're not ready to leave your job, but you will.
Yeah.
If I tell you, you cannot work at the job you have anymore, you have to step down, resign, in order for you to get this $12 million check. Don't be a hypocrite.
No.
Don't be a hypocrite.
And then the second part of all this is, like, there's still a stigma that shouldn't be there anymore around the G League.
Yes, yes.
It's because of just what it is, right? Because, oh, they're not playing in the NBA. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the G League, because when this thing started, it was called the NBA Developmental League. Mm-hmm. It had, I don't know how many teams, maybe six that were not affiliated. Maybe one was affiliated with an actual NBA team, but these teams were not affiliated with NBA teams. Mm-hmm. They were just there. They're, you know, let's go find dudes that are on the street that are looking, like, basically a lot of the guys that were playing in Europe or China or wherever they might be playing, Vietnam, Argentina. There's a lot of leagues out there that are playing professional ball, if you don't know. I've seen some of my college classmates play in a lot of different countries. And so that was kind of what that was when it started. And you might get a guy here or there, right, that could come up and help you on a 10-day contract most of the time. You weren't signing a lot of these guys to play actually in the league. I think Devin Brown for the Spurs was one of the exceptions back then that actually got a chance and actually played. But as this thing has evolved, every single one of these teams, except for two of them, because they're reserved for 18-year-olds that don't want to go to college, that want to be out of high school into the NBA, Ignite, and I can't remember what the other G League team that is actually run just by the NBA. But the rest of these teams are run by actual organizations, and this is basically like a minor league farm system in baseball. Absolutely. You're building this thing. You're drafting dudes that you know are going to be playing in the G League, even as first-round picks. Now you're not even messing like
Grady Dick was a lottery pick. He was G League,
and you're getting guys that, and the Spurs actually were one of the teams that kind of started that kind of trend of drafting guys late in the first round, just placing them right in the G League in Austin.
Keontae Johnson played G League and had a big year.
He blew up in the G League because it's just not a spot for him even right now with the Thunder. And you know, as he develops and gets that confidence, his game is built for this league. There's no question about that. And so I think people need to understand that the G League is not some run-down, run-of-the-mill place where people are trying to fight to get to the NBA anymore. Like it was just rejects that probably weren't even going to make it. These guys are actually being trained and being put in situations. So you can get a 10-day contract, yes, but they're two-way contracts. Now, they're not even 10-day contracts. Yeah. Like you're part of it, and you can be called up at any point in time, just like baseball, right, to be on this team because you're part of that team. And so there's the people got to understand to get rid of the stigma about the G League being something that's run down.
Yeah.
It's a real organized thing, just like minor league baseball is right now. And these players that are playing in that league are some of the highest level players that just don't have a spot right now in a very select league in the NBA. So
absolutely,
there's no shame in getting drafted and going playing in the G League for a year.
No, two. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. There's some really good players that played in G League that are outstanding NBA players. No question about it. Now, Arthur Kaluma decided to withdraw his name from the NBA draft. He averaged 14 points, 7 rebounds. Well, how's that? He had way better numbers than Furphy. Well, Furphy has more upside. That's just how it is. So he remains in the transfer portal, although Jerome Tang said last week that his staff would make an effort to get Kaluma back to K-State, but the decision from Kaluma remains to be seen. Do you think Kaluma is going to be back at K-State?
I don't.
Yeah, I don't either. I think once you're in the portal, it's rare that you come back to the team you were. But
his goodbye felt like a goodbye because it didn't, like, I don't think he 100% expected to be in the draft. I think going into the portal was his way of saying,
yeah,
I'm not at K-State anymore. That's personal opinion. I don't know if that's true or not. But.
So he could be playing college basketball for his third team in 3 years, which is going to become more the norm than being the exception.
Time winding down here in Edmonton. Suter misses the net with that attempt.
And a chant of, we want the cup here in Edmonton.
Last Canadian team to win it, Montreal back in 1993. Oilers are 6 wins away. They even this series at 2 games apiece.
Edmonton wins 5-2 over the Stars, Western Conference Finals, Stanley Cup playoffs last night. That series tied it 2 apiece. And also, there'll be game 5 on Friday night back in Dallas. Tonight, Stanley Cup playoffs, Eastern Conference Finals continue in New York. Rangers host the Panthers in Game 5. Series tied at 2. Tonight's game at 7 o'clock on ESPN. And NBA playoffs, the Western Conference Finals roll on. The Celtics are awaiting to see who they play in the NBA Finals that start next Thursday, June the 6th. Timberwolves look to keep their season alive again as they trail the Mavericks 3-1. Tip-off at 7:30 tonight on TNT in Minnesota. The no NBA team in the history of the NBA has come back from a 0-3 deficit to win a series. It's happened in major leagues in the playoffs with the Red Sox or the Yankees, as we know. The Celtics and the Sixers last year, it was a 3-0 series, and then, what was it, Sixers came back and forced a Game 7 but didn't finish it. And then NHL, there have been quite a few. There have been at least a handful of series that you've been down 3-0, come back and won 4 straight to win. But it's never happened in NBA. And is it going to happen in this series?
No.
Okay.
I mean, you could see, like, you know, the was it the Blazers and Mavericks 1 year? Mavericks were up 3-0, and this is when Pippen was playing with the Blazers, and they came back and tied it, and then they lost in Game 7. I could see that maybe happening.
And that's what the Sixers did to the Celtics last year, too.
Yeah, I could see those kind of things happening. It's so hard to win 4 in a row in those things. I just don't think it'll happen.
Do the Mavericks close it out tonight in Minnesota?
I'm going to say no.
I say they will. I say they will. Carl Anthony Towns, can he actually put two great games back-to-back together? I have my doubts, and Minnesota's not been good at home in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the easy assumption is, well, they'll win game five at home, at least get it to six. Now, I will say this. I'm cheering for the T-Wolves to win. I don't think they will tonight. I think the Mavericks will bounce back, and they'll have, I think they'll have Derek Lively back. He didn't play last game, so that's important. And I think Luka's determined to play better because he said, I didn't bring enough energy last game. And stars usually bounce back from what they think is a subpar performance. For Luka, subpar performance was 28, 15, and 10. And Kyrie Irving didn't play well the other day. What are the odds Kyrie and Luka won't play better than they did in game four? I think they're going to play better tonight. And I also think they want to close it out, although they didn't the other night, but they want to close it out so they get some rest before the NBA Finals against the Celtics. Luka definitely needs the rest. And I think the T-Wolves are like, we dodged a sweep. I do think that if Towns and Edwards play well, they definitely can win tonight. And if they both play well the rest of the series, then we could be looking at game seven back in Minnesota. I would be shocked by it. I will say this. If the T-Wolves win tonight, they're going to have a lot of confidence going back to Dallas in game six, and the pressure will shift because the pressure was all on the T-Wolves when they're down 0-2 and they're down 0-3. And then the pressure is still on the T-Wolves tonight to win, to send it back to Dallas. But if the T-Wolves win tonight, now Dallas is sitting here going, we better win game six in Dallas because we don't want to go to Minnesota game seven. The home team wins game seven like 78% of the time, although this year it's been the home team's 0-2 in game sevens, I think, at home or something like that. The Nuggets lost at home in game seven. The Knicks lost at home in game seven. That's a couple examples. But if you're the Mavericks, if the T-Wolves can win tonight, all of the pressure shifts to the Mavericks for game six. I mean all of it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
The T-Wolves are suddenly riding high, think they have something figured out, going, all we got to do is win one road game, and we'll bring it back home to Minnesota, close out in game seven. So the sooner you can slay the giant, the sooner you can, you know, take care of the opponent, put your foot down, and put them away, the better. I think the Mavericks are very motivated tonight to say, we ain't going to let it go back to Dallas. We need the rest. If Lively's back, that makes a difference. And I think Karl-Anthony Towns will not play as well as he did the other day. And so I'm picking Dallas to close it out tonight.
Yeah.
I hope I'm wrong. Hope I'm wrong. I've been wrong many times over the last 18 years.
I'm a Spurs fan, so I hope Minnesota wins the next three. So, yeah.
I was talking to my oldest son the other day. He goes, this series is over. I'm like, well, yeah, it's 3-0. It's probably over. But I said, you know, technically you're right. It's over because no NBA team has ever come back from an 0-3 deficit. And he said, they never will. And I said, that's baloney. I said, I guarantee you, in my lifetime, in your lifetime, there will be an NBA team down 0-3 that will come back and win. He goes, no. I said, dude, they said the same thing about a 16 will never beat a 1. And now it's happened twice. Not once, twice. They said back when the Yankees were up 3-0 on the Red Sox. Red Sox were dead and buried. And Kevin Millar said it so famously, you better not let us win tonight. And they did. They won game four. And then he goes, because then we got Pedro, we got Schilling. And he set the tone for what the comeback for the Red Sox. He's like, the Yankees, he like basically shifted the pressure to the Yankees. He's like, you better not let us win tonight because we got such and such on the mound the next two games.
Yeah.
And what happened? They won game four. Yeah. Then they won game five. Pressure all on the Yankees. And the Red Sox won four in a row and shocked the world. So it will happen. Mark my words. It will happen during my lifetime, as long as I live a long life. I truly believe if a 16 can beat a 1 twice in an NCAA tournament, and the Yankees can blow a 3-0 lead to the Red Sox, tell me how an NBA team can't blow a 3-0 lead in the NBA playoff series. It will happen sometime. And who knows? Maybe the T-Wolves will be the first to do it. I'm definitely not putting money on that, but do you think it'll happen?
I don't.
You don't think an NBA team is going to blow a 3-0 lead?
I thought you were talking about this year. No. I think eventually it'll happen. I think it'll...
I mean, it's just a law of averages, right?
Eventually, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know how long it'll take. It's been... obviously, the NBA is the one that's gone the longest here without doing it. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't happen very much in baseball either. We got that one spot. Mm-hmm. And so it does happen. You know, the 16 doesn't happen very much, but we've got it twice now, like you said. And so law of averages, like you say, it should happen some point.
You just hope it didn't happen to your team.
No, exactly.
Yeah. Please don't let it happen to the Spurs. No, no, no. That's the ironic thing. There was the curse on the Red Sox all those years, and then that was the most unlikeliest ever comeback.
Oh yeah, for
ever.
Sure.
And Yankees fans, I still think are stunned and shocked all these years later that they blew that series.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.